And Jude, in explaining the things that he's explaining, we'll go to Jude chapter, well, it's only one chapter. Why do I keep making that same mistake here? Okay, we'll go to Jude, the letter Jude, and we're going to read a set of scriptures that have to do with the next things that we're going to be studying for the next few weeks and from the letter. Let's get there. Okay. Let me see here. Here we go. Jude. I'm going to read verses 17, 18, and 19. And we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks, these particular verses here. He says here, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And we'll be talking about these particular verses. Now, the context of the letter Jude is, it is a kingdom doctrine, of course. And in this letter, there was the point of the letter is for the saints to earnestly contend for the faith. And that is brought out in verse 3. And it is because of certain men who crept in unawares, who were ungodly men who was exhibiting bad teaching toward the group. In verse 4, they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is there's a doctrinal perspective here that, you know, by right division, we can know exactly what's going on in relation to these things. And we can be clear by filtering our study through the way the Lord gives us to study. He says to in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And it's knowing the who, what, when, where, why of Scripture. There are 66 books with all the wonderful things of God's Word in them, but we're not in every chapter and every page of every book, of every writing. We're not in that. There is a perspective. God is dealing with mankind throughout the Bible, and throughout the Bible there are different administrations of God's will. There was a time people were under the law. There was a time before the law. There was time under the law. There was a time where we're not under the law but under grace. And there'll be a future time where there'll be great tribulation on this earth. And then there'll be a future time when there'll be this kingdom on the earth. And so there are all these things about, you know, how God deals with man. He deals with him under these different perspectives, and we have to rightly divide the word of truth in order to understand God's perfect word. That's really the only way you're going to really be able to get into what God is doing and understand what his word is saying. And that's what this room is about. And I hope in studying this letter that is not doctrine to us, we see a perspective whereby we need to rightly divide the word of truth. So, he starts this portion saying, "But beloved." He explains these certain men throughout this letter, and then he, in verse 17, he says, "But beloved." And so these people were the beloved of the Lord, and to whom he wrote the letter. As we see in verse 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, it's interesting in this letter about contending for the faith in the face of bad apostate opposition and example. The next letter after that, or should I say writing after that, is the book of Revelation, which shows the content of things that go on during that time, that this doctrine will be prevalent. This doctrine of earnestly contending for the faith, that letter of Revelation shows the content of what's going to be happening during those times that this letter will be doctrinal. So he's talking to the beloved who will be in that perspective of the book of Revelation, that time which will be unlike any other, where there will be a temptation will come upon the whole world to try men. And Jude is writing of some things related to how to make the saints aware of some apostate teaching that happens during that time. And so in respect of that, he is, this letter to the beloved of the Lord, in spotting out those certain men, he tells them to remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very important that we understand the perspective of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ in relation to this first verse. Now, an apostle is one sent by God with the message of a gospel. And he's specially sent by God. These guys were apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sent one. That's what the very word designates. These might be some general things tonight, but I think general things are good, you know, because I'm always interested in keeping aware of certain doctrinal issues and certain things like that. But there's a perspective for the apostle. Okay. I'm glad you let me know, Pito. Can anyone else hear me? Is it better now? Is the sound better now? Is the sound better now? Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Pitao, and Pitu. I think it's Pitu. Now, in relation to this, in relation to this thing about the apostles, there is a doctrinal dispensational perspective of apostleship. And we have to understand this thing about an apostle, one sent from the Lord with a message toward mankind. One sent, specially sent from the Lord, divinely sent from the Lord with a message for mankind. And so now you know there's that you can see all kinds of general uses of the Greek word, but when we see apostle in the Bible, it means a divinely sent one. When you see it in the Bible, that Greek word in the Bible, it means a divinely sent one. Okay. I hope it sound well. I hope you can hear me. I don't know what to do here that will get everything perfect for everybody, but perhaps the sound will be okay. Well, thank you, Liberty. I'll just go on. Just so long as you can hear some of the words here. Okay. So when we look at that word apostle in the Bible, it means one who is especially sent from the Lord. With a message of the gospel, or a gospel in relation to the dispensational will of God. This letter that we're looking at, is of the last grouping of doctrine at the end of the Bible, that last grouping, those last nine letters. And this will also tell us about the perspective of the apostle, you know? When you see that word apostle, it'll give you, when you see, when Jude talks about, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, the letter's context of the grouping will also give you a perspective of the apostles' words, or the doctrine of the apostles they were to remember. And that becomes important too. So it's those last nine letters, those last nine writings, Hebrews through Revelation. Jude is one of those. The doctrine of those last nine writings was written during the time of Acts, when Israel and the plan for Israel was in diminishment. That plan during Acts for that nation Israel and their kingdom on earth, that plan was diminished, set aside for a future time because of Israel's rejection. And God brought salvation to all mankind through the present message given the Apostle Paul. But these Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a portion, those that canon of Scripture was during Acts at the time that Israel and that kingdom plan was in diminishment. The letter concerns the little flock of believing Jews and the direction for them in the coming tribulation. The letter concerns the little flock and doctrine for them in the coming tribulation. The doctrine of the letter Jude takes place after the present dispensation of grace is over, and the present body of Christ is caught up to our heavenly inheritance. Remember, God set that whole program under Israel. He set it aside and brought in salvation by grace through faith toward all mankind through the message given Paul, because Israel rejected his plan for them to be the conduit for salvation toward the Gentiles. God wanted the nation Israel to be the way that other nations of the earth could be saved through them. But what happened was they rejected that will. And the stoning of Stephen was pivotal in that was the last rejection before their plan was diminished. What happened to Peter and the 12 and the ministry toward Israel, those 8,000 or so that were of that ministry, they all died off, and they will be resurrected unto their promised earthly kingdom. That plan for them diminished. And they will all die, they all died, and they will be resurrected unto that kingdom promised them. So, what God is doing now is establishing a body of Gentiles and Jews who will trust the gospel given the Apostle Paul. We'll get into more of that. But what we're going to look at now, hopefully we can see the aspects of that particular context of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps know some of the things that were related to the perspective of Jude. Okay, now those 12 apostles, it says here, in Jude, in telling them to remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, is pointing to the ministry of the 12 apostles under whose doctrine he was. Here I'm going to attempt to show the origin of the 12 apostles' doctrine and some of the teaching involved in the doctrine concerning the letter Jude. Now the 12 preached the kingdom doctrine of Jesus Christ. They preached the kingdom doctrine of Jesus Christ. And in relation to understanding that gospel of the kingdom and the things involved there, there's a perspective. Luke 16 gives us a perspective of that kingdom doctrine. Luke 16. Let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 16. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That was the perspective of the teaching of Christ in Israel. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So that was the kingdom perspective that was taught during the time of Christ. And so there's that understanding that when John came, he in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea and preaching the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then you can go to Matthew chapter 4 And you see, after the temptation in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4:17, you see that Jesus preaches that preaches the kingdom, and in 4:23 he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. That's Matthew 4:17 and Matthew 4:23. In that kingdom accord was the little flock of believing Jews. They were in that same accord. And these are some familiar scriptures to those who rightly divide. And I hope they'll be, you know, something that can help people who may be in here for the first time to understand the perspective of the 12 apostles' doctrine and teaching. We're going to read some from Matthew chapter 10. We're going to read some from Matthew chapter 10. Let's go and find out about the initiation of the 12 and their preaching. Just a second here. Here we go, Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to read some verses here. Okay, Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start from verse 1, and we're going to read. First, we'll go down to verses 1 to verses 7. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them to... I'm in Mark. It's in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Listen to that. Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'll stop at verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, you see, the doctrine here is not to Gentiles. The doctrine he taught the 12 in Matthew here, and that same accord of him walking in the nation of Judea, it's not unto Gentiles. They were not to go into the way of the Gentiles. Or, in other words, the Samaritans were mixed Jews. They were Jewish and, you know, the other peoples mixed. And he didn't want them to go to them at that time. So it was a message specifically to who he says in verse 6. When you see this thing, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the house of Israel points to those that are not of any other nation. And that was the accord of Jesus Christ. The Word of God confirms this by our Apostle Paul, who in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, gives us that same perspective, telling us that Christ was a minister of the circumcision. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He was a minister of the circumcision, and he told those 12 who became his apostles to go not into the way of Gentiles. Now, as ye go, preach, saying, what? They were going to preach. What do you preach? A gospel. And it's that same accord of Matthew 4:17-23. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That kingdom of heaven is what they were to be preaching. And along with that preaching, there was a perspective of things going on there in the physical, the healing the sick, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. That there was healing as was part of that ministry. It was a ministry of the things related to that kingdom. And, you know, and you can go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Leviticus, and you can see, you know, they were going to be priests and kings on this earth, and you can see in that book of Leviticus that priests and kings were not to be blemished or have any kind of physical infirmity of any kind. And, you know, that accord here was that, you know, that Israel was going to be the means of the healing for the nations. Therefore, that nation was going to have to be presented as such, as worthy for that, on a physical, earthly, how does it say, physical, earthly, literal, Davidic kingdom or such like. That's the accord going here. It's an earthly kingdom perspective. Folks, we get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so ever to be with the Lord. Ours is a different perspective. But here, what is to Israel was a confirmation of those promises about an earthly kingdom and the things related to it. This is what he taught those apostles. This is from which those things related to the little flock to whom Jude wrote. It stems from these things that the Lord himself taught his 12. And let's continue in here. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor strip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, they were to go out with nothing on them. Nothing to help them with, like monetarily or anything written or to write with, or out of the context of strip. They were not to have two coats, neither shoes, nor yet even staves. And for the workman is worthy of his meat. That was a context of that program there. That is not for today. This is not the context. You know, in fact, people who very much claim this program don't pay attention to the doctrine of this program. Perhaps that would that you know they plead they plead. They ignore the doctrine of this program. And but as you see, what it entails is they were to go out with nothing on them. Nothing on them. No cars, no computers, no writing pad, no little Bible in their hands, or nothing. It says and verse 11, and to and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in it who in it is worthy, and there abide until ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then ye depart out of that house or city, shake off dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth. Okay, before I go on to verse 16, verse 15, stopping there, in verse 15, we see here another perspective there, that doctrinal perspective, the acceptance of that gospel and the rejection of that gospel. And it had consequences of judgment there, and you know that's pretty clear there, and that's how it is in that. And of course we know the gospel of Christ. A person doesn't believe that, they're lost. If a person doesn't believe that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and risen, they're lost. But look here, in relation to this, they were to preach to repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and whosoever did not receive nor hear their words. There was a judgment immediately towards that particular city or that house or city. That was an immediate judgment that related to it should be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that in the day of judgment than for that city. So that's a perspective of not, that's not a dispensation of grace perspective. It's a doctrinal perspective that involves the kingdom toward Israel. It involved the kingdom toward Israel. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Remember, he told them not to go into the way of the Gentiles, and look here, they are going to be brought for a testimony against them, governors and kings and the Gentiles. So there is a, you know, there's a perspective of this is a thing that involves Israel. And notice it says here, they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, a synagogue is a Jewish place of worship. So this is not a doctrinal perspective for us today in a dispensation of grace. We don't have, synagogues. The church is the body of Christ. We are a building not made with hands. And we're saved by grace through faith. We're given the message from the Apostle Paul as our perspective. But this is the perspective of the apostle from which Jude was to get, from which the people Jude wrote to were to get their perspective, when what we read right here in Matthew. Now, it says here, verse 20, verse 18, ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. I'm going to read down to verse 23. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work, every good work. Now, that's the perspective of the dispensation of grace. We need all Scripture. In fact, we are told to rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and 2 Timothy 2:15 is our perspective of the dispensation of grace. We are told to rightly divide the word of truth. We're told that all Scripture is able to make us perfect, complete in all ways. So that's a different doctrinal perspective. They were not to like it says here. It says here, but when they deliver you up, and take no thought of how or what you shall speak. That's a whole different perspective. But that was also a perspective of them not having that mystery that we have now. God provided a way for them ministered to supernaturally. But now we have the whole Word of God, and we are told that it is able to make us perfect. And so so we have a different perspective than this kingdom here. And so it says here, verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, we get right into the tribulation perspective there. That's tribulational perspective doctrine. So, you know what the next event on the prophecy calendar was? First, after those things that Jesus ministered and the 12 ministered in Israel, the next thing on the prophetic calendar was going to be the tribulation. And the doctrine the Lord gives them here is a perspective of preparedness. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Is that body of Christ doctrine? We're told that we're saved from wrath through him, being justified by his blood. Romans 5:8-9. 5:9. Therefore, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not to endure to the end. Ours is in the dispensation of grace is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4:5. We're in a whole different perspective than this kingdom here. But as you see, it's a tribulation perspective. They are to endure to the end to be saved. But when they, and it says here, but when they persecute, that's the last verse, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, that gives us a time frame, a time scale of that kingdom thing right there in verse 23. Ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, of course, that points to that second coming of the Lord. We know that when Stephen was stoned, that was the rejection in Jerusalem of the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine of the comforter sent by Jesus Christ, sent by the Lord, the comforter, the doctrine of that Holy Ghost was rejected in that nation. And the 12 stayed in Jerusalem. But who went unto all the world? A whole different apostle with a whole different message. That was Paul. But notice here, it says to the 12, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, the point about this is, folks, is that Israel had to first be a nation worthy of being kings and priests. They had, and that didn't happen back in Acts. Yeah, 8,000 got saved, but that's not the whole nation. That's only a minor portion of that whole nation. That was only a little flock of that whole nation. And in order to be the nation that God wanted them to be, there has to be a number related to that nation. And that 12 was not it. That little flock back there in Acts was not enough to be declared the nation Israel. The nation, the huge amount of the Jews, they accepted the truth. They rejected, and Exodus out gives us a number there. Good point there. The huge portion of the Jews rejected the will of God and his kingdom. But that this point about until the Son of Man be come, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, they have to first be a nation worthy of that. And that's what that tribulation will be about. It'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. It'll be a time in which Israel will go through the terrors of that tribulation, and those who trust on the Lord during that time in Israel, they will get the earthly kingdom and rule all the Gentile nations as kings and priests over the Gentile nations. They will be ministering priests and ruling kings over all the Gentile nations on earth. We who believe in this dispensation of grace are not part of this earthly kingdom perspective. The Word of God tells us by Pauline scriptures that we have a heavenly inheritance. We are caught up in the air, away from earth, to fill up God's government above. Israel will be the reconciling of things on earth, and the body of Christ will be the reconciling of things in heaven. That's us, the body of Christ. So that's what God is doing now, presently, causing he is establishing a body to be caught up in the air to fill up the heavenly perspective of his creation. Right now, it's filled with wickedness, as we see by the Word. There's spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, in those high places in above creation, in the inside creation, I should say. And so that'll be the perspective of the body of Christ, of taking over those that have, taken over those governmental authorities by the work of the Lord himself. And so that's what he's forming with us. But here in this Matthew, it's about the earthly Jewish Davidic kingdom promised Israel, and they will indeed get that. It ain't happening now. But you see, the apostles have a doctrinal perspective that is earthly, an earthly doctrinal perspective. Now, in relation to looking at this a little bit more, we'll see some things about, some more about the doctrinal perspective of the 12 ministers. Again, these are things that most of you quite know, but perhaps they can be used by you to show people the Word of God and things that will help you to show them that where they can understand what is to us and what is not to us. By the way, what is to us is the ministry of God from the Apostle of the Gentiles. The doctrine written in the Word of God from the Apostle of the Gentiles. Paul was called for that, for the present perspective. And you'll read what is to us, the doctrine of the dispensation of the grace of God, given Paul for Gentiles. You can read about that in Romans through Philemon, those 13 letters, those 13 letters in a row. Romans through Philemon. That's where we are. That's what we should be grounded and settled in. But I hope we can see here a difference, how this doctrine here is not to us, and how it doesn't involve the things to us. And later on in these studies, looking at this particular point about the apostles, we'll get into the perspective that is to us. But presently, we're looking from which Jude and his group are to remember. The kingdom doctrine. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Okay, Matthew 19, let's go to, now we see here there was a rich young ruler asking Christ about the doctrine, and we are not going to go into that particularly, but we're going to go into that which affects the answer to the 12 apostles in relation to that. So we'll pick up a little bit from that conversation with the rich young ruler. Let's go verse 21, Matthew 19, verse 21, and we will read down to verse 28. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. If thou wilt be perfect, in relation to the doctrine taught by the Lord Jesus Christ in the land of Judea, and it's, he tells this young man, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, how many out there are who really think they're under this doctrine, who really believe that they're under this doctrine of the red letters, how many of them are really under that, are really being honest with you? You know, it's just, of course, it's none of them. None of them, because it's not the perspective of God. It's not the perspective of God today. But you know what? The 12 did this, and the little flock did this. They sold all their own, and we'll look at that later. But this is not doctrine to us. This is not the doctrine to us. Paul gives instructions to the rich in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 6. In chapter 6, he gives instructions to the rich in a dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul also, the Lord tells us in the Pauline scriptures that we are to follow Paul. Paul has the doctrine for us, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul is of Christ. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. He is of Christ. And we are to follow Paul. And how is that what the Bible says? Be ye, Paul says, by the authority of God's word, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He is the apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. God gave him authority to fulfill his word, Colossians 1:25. Paul fulfills the word of God. Paul took on some sufferings left behind of Jesus Christ for whose sake? His body, the church. Jesus Christ left some sufferings behind for Paul to go through for his body's sake. That's in Colossians 1:24. So that is the perspective of what Christ has for us. It comes from the scriptures that are from the Pauline revelations, the Pauline mystery revealed dispensation of grace. That is to us. But here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this sell all doctrine is not to us, and there are many who are deceptive and who are, you know, who don't really know how to rightly divide or just deny it completely. Who you could get them with this scripture and show them that if they're going to be under this doctrine, you can show them clearly that's not the perspective they're keeping. But God is not under this perspective now. That was the perspective of of the things in Israel, where selling all was the way. Now, notice this. It is to the 12 and the things related to their ministry. Verse 20, it says here, let's continue on in the context. Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man, he's saying unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? So they understood it was some doctrine that was to them, not just something he was telling some rich young ruler. It was a doctrine of the kingdom and that he was teaching them. When his disciples, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Who can be saved? With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now notice here, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we see this point about their particular perspective. Notice what they'll be doing. Those 12 apostles will be sitting on 12 thrones, judging who? 12 Jewish tribes. And what will those 12 Jewish tribes be doing? They'll be being kings and priests on the earth. They'll be kings over the Gentile nations and priests over the Gentile nations on this earth. And the 12 apostles will be on 12 thrones, judging those 12 tribes. So it'll be a holy nation above all the other nations in relation to the earthly kingdom perspective. That's not to us. That's not our perspective. Our Apostle Paul is not part of that. Remember, in Acts 1, they asked the Lord to show them who would take Judas's place. And the Lord shows them that it was Matthias. And in Acts chapter 2, Matthias went through all the Holy Ghost baptism, confirming him as the 12th that the other 12 did. So that was set. Matthias took Judas's place. But you come to Acts chapter 9, after Israel rejected the will of God for the kingdom, you come to Acts chapter 9, and God establishes a whole new apostleship. One that will not be on, that there's no extra throne. There's only 12 thrones for 12 apostles, and they were set. But you have this apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And that's where our perspective comes in. Israel rejected, now the will of God is to all men equally through the shed blood of the cross, by grace through faith, through the message given the apostle Paul. But as you see, that kingdom on the earth has a definite perspective in which the Jewish nation will be first, the Israel. But we're not of that again. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. But notice here, this information is the, it relates to the you know, the germination of that ministry that had to do with the apostles' doctrine, which Jude and his group, that group that Jude wrote to, were to remember. They were to remember these 12, the doctrinal perspective of the 12. And so we get to see that. Cell and all was part of that doctrine. And those 12 would sit on 12 thrones. That is judging 12 Jewish tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. That's not body of Christ doctrine. Today, Jews and Gentiles are saved by grace through faith into a body. Those that believe, who believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen again, like Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, we're put into a body, one body, by the cross, and called, and we will be, and at the end of this dispensation, the grace, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive will be, and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And through the body of Christ, the heavenly perspective will be reconciled, and through the Israel and their prophetic plan, the earthly perspective will be reconciled. This is what the Bible shows. This is how the Bible, is the perspective of rightly dividing the word of truth, gives us. Okay? And so we see that. The kingdom, now that kingdom on earth was taken from the religious leadership in Israel and given to the believing remnant, the little flock in Israel. Matthew chapter 21, Christ tells the Pharisaical group there in Matthew chapter 21, he tells them, let's see here, Matthew 21, verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. And like a teacher pointed out to us, it is not to the nations of the world. It is to a nation. It is a nation, a singular nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. It's taken from that rulership, the religious rulership in Israel, and Christ is going to give it to a nation, one nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, what is that? Of course, it has to do with the doctrine to Israel. The religious leadership in Israel were not under God's will. So the promise was to that nation Israel. So that nation bringing forth the fruits thereof was still of that Israel. But they were a believing flock. The little flock of Luke chapter 12 in Israel. Christ tells them in Luke chapter 12 verse 32. He tells them, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the little flock of believing Jews get that earthly kingdom where there'll be, so that's the perspective of Jude's writing. That's the perspective of the doctrine that they are to be under, those of Jude are to be under. And so we can go on with this, let's see what time, okay? Okay, now God, when we talk about apostles being sent ones, and so we can see that perspective from the Word of God, that apostles are indeed sent ones. In fact, let's go to Luke chapter 11. And here's an interesting set of verses. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Okay. Luke chapter 11. Okay. And Christ is giving woes unto those. Now here are some lawyers having, and of course the perspective of the lawyers in Israel, you know, that has to do with things of the law in Israel. And of course that is the perspective for the, you know, this is against those of Israel. This is not a secular woe here. This is having to do with things related to the leadership, the spiritual leadership in Israel. And Christ, in telling them the truth about them not being in God's will, presents a woe unto the lawyers of Israel. In verse 45, then answered, in verse 46, then he said, woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Now we're going to read down to verse 51. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Verse 50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. So we're, you know, I'm going to stop here soon, but what we see is we're getting a point about apostleship and the things related to the apostleship in Israel, the things related to the doctrine perspective of Jude. Again, I'll say this, that Jude, the letter Jude, has to do with, we know that when Jude says, remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can know by the letter's context that that association with the apostles has to do with the 12 and the ministry of the kingdom. Jude is part of Hebrews through Revelation. That last future doctrinal perspective on this earth in which people will have to endure the tribulation. And especially Israel, its doctrine to Israel on enduring the great tribulation in order to get their earthly kingdom. That's what Hebrews through Revelation is about, those last nine writings, of which Jude is one. So when we can know by its context, the content of it also, the doctrinal content also, that it has to do with showing faith by works in a kingdom perspective. So when Jude says, remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that that has to do with the ministry of the 12. We're going to look into more of it next week. But what is our accord? Again, in Acts chapter 9, God raised up a whole new apostleship after Israel's rejection. It was the apostle Paul of the Gentiles. And Paul was given a ministry to reveal God's mystery, the mystery for the present dispensation of the grace of God. And in relation to that ministry of the mystery, we learn in the Romans through Philemon, the doctrine he was given to write, that he was called to be an apostle, and that his apostleship has to do with him being the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle of the Gentiles, for the sake of fulfilling God's word, Colossians 1:25. Paul's job and his apostleship was to fulfill the word of God, Colossians 1:25. Now, as what he wrote, being that it fulfilled God's word, we have to understand what it entailed in fulfilling God's word. It entailed never revealed before doctrine. Things that were hid in God, he never revealed, he never told anybody. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, never told anybody the things that he told Paul to tell. It was a perspective of God's hidden purpose. Paul was to given to reveal in Scripture. And let's read what the Word of God says in relation to that. This is the anthem I like to show people in the Bible, the great thing for the dispensation of grace, the clarity of the Scriptures, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. The ministry of Paul in those 12 books is concisely shown, I believe, in these verses. In other words, you'll see the perspective of God mentioned here throughout Romans through Philemon, the 13 letters in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 11. Verse 1, Ephesians 3, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Not by favored nation, not by covenants to a favored nation, not by law, but by the gospel. The gospel that involves the dispensation of the grace of God. And I'll go on. Verse 7. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Unsearchable because they were never before revealed in Scripture before. It given to Paul to reveal about a body of Gentiles and Jews, fellow heirs in one body, saved by grace, by simply trusting the gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried and risen again. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Yes, Gentile salvation goes into the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, it's through a favored nation, Israel. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's by acknowledging a favored nation, Israel. But what Paul speaks about is fellow heirship not by any of those things. A mystery revealed. Gentiles and Jews saved by the gospel. And that is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what we have here is an understanding of that which is hid in God, now revealed, given the Apostle Paul. And so it is the mystery about Christ in Gentiles, the hope of glory, of Colossians 1:25, a mystery that was revealed to Paul in due time for the sake of the of salvation toward mankind. Since Israel rejected being the conduit for salvation to the Gentiles, God opened up salvation by grace through faith, a hidden plan. He knew Israel would reject, and he had a hidden plan, hid in God from before the foundation of the world. And that is the perspective of now. And so it's by the gospel. What is the gospel? Is it the gospel of the kingdom that was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is it repent and be baptized for remission of sins? No. It is since Paul was given the message of the dispensation of the grace of God, the very gospel of salvation by this sent apostle is the very gospel of salvation toward this sent apostle is the way of God for today. It involves the gospel of God's grace. Not you doing anything, not you getting water poured on you, not you going out and trying to keep a perfect law that only shows you worthy of damnation. It's by Christ's death for our sins. Christ's death for our sins. Him dying in our place, a criminal's death. He took on death for us, our criminal's death. He took on a criminal's death that was payment for our sins. His blood redeemed us, bought us who believe out of hellfire and damnation that all mankind deserves. We're not perfect, but we have a perfect Savior who saved us in spite of ourselves in a dispensation of His grace. And the gospel points to that. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us the gospel associated with the dispensation of the grace of God. Verse 1, Paul declares, I declare unto you the gospel. In verse 1, this is the gospel for the present, now, dispensation of grace. Verse 2, by which you are saved, and it is in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that saves a person. A person who goes out and tries to save themselves by repenting and water baptism will not get into heaven. If God does not save people according to their way, He saves people according to His way. And His way is that we cannot save ourselves. We need Christ to save us. His blood alone is the way of salvation. And since we can do, since we're not perfect enough to keep God's perfect will, we are only left with accepting what God has for us, the gospel of the grace of God. Have you believed it? Have you trusted it? It's the only way you can get to heaven, just by believing that Jesus Christ did all the finished work at Calvary's cross. His blood for our sins. He died for our sins, and then He rose again as our Savior. That is the gospel for today, and that's the end of my message. Tomorrow, it will be grace.